Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Now we continue our conversation with Calvin Miller. Well, this is Dick Staub back with you. We're visiting with Calvin Miller. His book is The Christ of Christmas, Readings for Advent. We didn't mention the artwork, too. There's a beautiful artwork, and of course, the Christmas story has attracted so much attention in literature and in art and in music throughout the centuries. It's just such a revolutionary, remarkable event. I was just reading something by a skeptic the other day who was saying, well, you know, even if Jesus existed, which most people think he did, and I was thinking how absolutely ridiculous, you know, to have that kind of mindset when you look at the way this one person has totally changed the shape of world history, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not.
Yeah, that's right.
He's made his impact. And yet, one of the wonderful things you draw out, Calvin, in The Christ of Christmas is the small things, the tune of the unknowns, you know, where the proud and mighty fall, the outback, Bethlehem,
yeah.
Nazareth, small town surprises. This one of the great aspects of the Christmas story is that the little people and the little places play such a big role.
Yeah, and you know what's most remarkable about that is, and I've always said and continue to say, I would always believe in Jesus if for one reason only, and that is that these little people who were absolutely Aramaic, rural, and virtually prosaic and provincial and nothing,
yeah,
suddenly become inflamed with the world on their mind. And people like Simon Peter, once content to fish in a little lake called Galilee, die 1,500 miles away in Rome because they got to preach the gospel in a bigger context. I think that's remarkable. I guess I look at Jesus and I say, you know, here's Mary, a hill girl, who suddenly is doing this beautiful sonnet we call the Magnificat,
mm-hmm.
and she sings, and the world is thrilled, and operas are written around it.
Yeah.
Nobody but God could put this together. So whoever the smart alecks are that say that Jesus did, may not have lived,
yeah.
I've often wondered if they really take a good look at it.
Yeah.
I would doubt most of the smart alecks before I would doubt Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. On December 22nd, you remind us that always the cradle and the birth story has to be viewed through the cross. And there's this wonderful phrase when Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, indeed, the child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul in the thoughts of many hearts. There was already a little sense in the Christmas story that this wonderful, joyous occasion was also going to be one that was going to bring some pain.
Absolutely. And I actually mentioned in one of these devotionals, you know, the great song, We Three Kings, and the gifts that they bring. Whether there were three, we don't know, but we do know that there were three gifts. And one of those gifts was myrrh,
yeah.
which was a burial spice.
Yeah.
And so there's hidden, even in the kings, this bit of discord. It's like the gargoyles on Notre Dame Cathedral. You have this wonderful, huge building in tribute to Jesus, but all of a sudden, in the middle of this, are stone demons that are waterspouts for the great cathedral.
Yeah.
And I often think, I think the Lord Jesus intentionally, and God himself, and I'm not even opposed to putting a demon in the stonework of Notre Dame, because I think we need to be reminded that we live in a world caught between God and evil.
Yeah. And, absolutely. On December 13th, you bring something in that some people say, well, now, you know, we got 31 nice meditations, we got this one. How to handle a scandal. And yet, it's an important part of the story.
It is an important part. And in fact, to me, I've often thought, you know, we can read pretty fast through Joseph, but goodness, that when he was mine to put Mary away privately, he was saying, essentially, I don't believe her.
Yeah,
and this had to be a huge contest in their marriage or their previous or on the steps to marriage that was in the way, and scandal was a very real part of it all. I think Mary goes to Elizabeth because she's so hungry for someone to say, "Blessed art thou," and Elizabeth does that.
Yeah, one of the things that you help us understand in this devotional is the importance of every word in the story. And a lot of times, as you said, we'll read quickly over a story and miss something. And you spend some time on December 20th talking about Jesus was the firstborn. And a reminder of well, your little epigram that day is he who have been adopted into God's family are made rich with his gift. The reminder that we share a part in this ancient tradition of riches poured out upon the firstborn.
Yes. Yes, and the most wonderful thing besides this passage is Romans 8, you know, where we are adopted, we are the children too, and joint heirs, all that is Christ is ours.
Yeah. When you look at this particular Christmas season with whatever is on your schedule and on your mind and in your life, are there any particular themes that you are either already sensing are going to be important to you or that you are going to spend some special time thinking about during the season?
Well, I would like to. I think we're on the brink of the field that we had in, say, 1940 or 41. Now, we may not go to war with Iraq, but there's something so beautiful about Christmas when a nation is in upheaval. And I think that so many of the carols that were popular in 1940 to 1945 became American favorites because, and by the way, they were generally Jesus-focused, that I'm hoping that the struggle of this year and this season with all that faces us will call us to a wonderful awareness that the Christ of Christmas is the Christ who is healer of the nations.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that you remind us of in this story is that there comes a time when God actually lifts the curtains and gives us a sense of eternity and of heaven. You know, we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then you say, well, what's going on in heaven?
Yeah.
And you have this chapter, the highest glory, God lifts the curtains, and we see a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I mean, you know, again, you read that and you think, oh, yeah, okay, I've seen that. I've seen that in the Christmas play. There's those kids off on the right, up on the balcony. You know, and this is, you know, real stuff where God actually broke into history in real time and gave a few humble shepherds a little peek at what's going on up there.
Right. You know, it's kind of like those wonderful plays in which the actors leave the stage and come out in the audience and do some lines. Every once in a while you'll see that done theatrically. And it's so wonderful. Usually they're up on the stage, you know, and the apocalypse is real. They draw the curtains and you see the play. But then there are the times when they come out and they're standing right by you in row 13, and they're shouting across the theater section to another actor. And that's how I see these angels. It's not just revelation anymore. It's not just mere apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's God in with us. It's Emmanuel in the flesh out in the audience. And I love that. I think the shepherds must have been witless, but God bless them. It was nice that they would give us this close-up view of God.
Oh, man. Well, the book is The Christ of Christmas, Readings for Advent, 31 Days of Devotions by Calvin Miller. And I've got to believe that you're already getting just tremendous feedback from people, even though they're not going to start using it for a few more days.
The thing has been in and out of stock because of just multiple printings. It's just sold incredibly well. I haven't seen anything quite like it this season, for one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping the publisher will bring it out next year again, because I just think, boy, so many people want it, and churches wanted to use it and haven't been able to get it. I hope it will be at your bookstore, though, and people will look it up.
Thank you so much, Calvin, for being with us today.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It very much.
Thank you, Dick, so much.
Merry Christmas to you, and
Merry Christmas
have a great season. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
This concludes our conversation with Calvin Miller. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.